Hi, this is Bob James, and I'm inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room with host Joan Watson Jones.
Hello, welcome to the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. Thanks for stopping by. Come in, relax, and enjoy some great jazz. Each week we present the music of independent jazz artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years. And yes, this week, a legend. Today I'll introduce you to pianist, composer, arranger Bob James. We met briefly after his set at the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival. You're listening now to Angela, theme from the TV show Taxi. Remember that show? Written and performed by Bob James. Enjoy. Thank you. Welcome to the Jazz Room, Bob James.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, I so enjoyed hearing you here at the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival. And have you been? Have you played at this festival before?
I've played something like this venue in Pittsburgh. My manager and I were trying to remember exactly because it was a number of years ago. Probably wasn't exactly this location, but similar at a different festival lineup. I love the city. The city has so much personality, and I feel like it has a big jazz history, and the fans kind of have a way of letting us know that they've heard it all, that we better give them something special.
I know.
Or else they'll kick us out.
You know? Oh. I know. And congratulations on your award today.
I'm so honored, and it was completely unexpected. Can't wait to find a good shelf in my studio at home to showcase it.
Oh, so I tell everybody, see, there's my list. It's my lead sheet, okay? But I improvise going along, so bear with me.
I had an iPad up on stage with me today. I still like to have some reference, even with songs that I've been playing for 20 years, to just have some comfort zone that I can refer to in case I have any kind of block or whatever. So
oh, yeah.
I can understand that.
I know. Now, you've been in this business a long time. When did music find you?
Very, very early. My older sister was taking piano lessons, and I think I was approximately 4 years old when my mother started to take me along with her when she would take my sister for her piano lessons, which happened to be at the local Catholic school in a small town in Marshall, Missouri. I got very lucky that the only piano teacher in the town at that time was this Catholic nun, but she had a really great reputation of being good and strict, and she saw that there was some potential there. Even though I was 4 years old, I was doing a lot of fiddling around with the keys or something. I don't know exactly what I was doing, but she could see it, and so my mother decided to give me lessons very early, and I am eternally grateful that she did that, because I feel like I had a solid foundation that just became part of my body, became part of my soul very early in life.
I love hearing so many people I interview talk about their family and the strongest influence of getting you started into music, not in the business, but music itself.
Well, I have the privilege of being now looking back at several generations in my small family, because I had one wife who passed away recently, but I have one daughter and one granddaughter. So it's a family that of this lineage of women. And now my granddaughter is about to enter her senior year at the Berklee College of Music in Boston, same place that I went briefly many years ago. So hoping that I can be of similar influence to both my daughter and granddaughter to help shape their lives and make sure that they're living it with passion and commitment. Yes, family is the most important thing to me.
This tune is titled In the Garden, from Bob's 1979 solo album titled One. Thank you. are some of the musicians you listened to when you were young, or you, and when you were getting going into, you know, being interested more in music?
Well, since you asked that question, when you did, which coincided with me randomly, maybe I heard something on Spotify or Apple Music. You know, these days we stream so many things that music comes to us that we didn't plan. And suddenly a track by Stan Kenton came up. And my youth just flooded back to me. My memories of some of the first dissonant or sort of scary sounding music. I had listened to some jazz, but when I heard the sound that Stan Kenton's band was playing at that time, it was filled me with an intrigue, and I wanted to study it. I wanted to figure out what those sounds were all about, and what were the trombones doing, and what were the trumpets doing, that kind of stuff. And it really formed my desire to become an orchestrator, which I did much later in life. But it were those records that I played over and over and over and over again, and there was one called New Concepts of Artistry in Rhythm that I probably hadn't listened to for 30 or 40 years, and then when I heard it a couple of weeks ago, it just brought back all of these memories of the, what to me was the genesis of becoming intrigued by sound and music and what was going on there, and I knew that one way or another I wanted to be part of it.
Just for fun, here is a 1949 recording of the Stan Kenton Orchestra playing Artistry in Rhythm.
Thank you.
Whenever I go to interview an artist, I try and get to know a lot about you. And I, in my research, I said, oh, my God, I've been listening to this guy my whole life. I'm looking at the artists that you've collaborated with, or can you give me some names? I have my early favorites, Grover Washington Jr., Earl Klugh, Paul Simon, Maynard Ferguson, yeah, even Neil Diamond.
That's kind of an eclectic group of people there, isn't it?
But I mean, from what I learned about you, you are a very eclectic musician.
Yes, different styles, different things have always intrigued me. I mean, even going way further away from jazz into the classical field or into other areas of pop music, I love to see how it works, what puts that music together, what makes it come to life. And, of course, jazz became the foundation for me. Everything always comes back to me wanting to speak my voice through the jazz idiom. But, yes, I've been influenced by all of those people that I had a chance to work with.
Is there any one special project or artist you worked with that just sticks with you? I know there's so many.
Not one.
Not one.
I can't reduce it down. I'm looking at the sheet that has those names that you just mentioned, and, of course, Grover Washington Jr., he and I were very closely identified together and separately, of course, but one album in particular, his album Mr. Magic, that became a very signature album for him and very important to me, too, as an arranger and as somebody who helped put together that sound that was very popular in those days as a result of producer Creed Taylor giving us the opportunity to go in the studio and work with high-quality audio by the engineer Rudy Van Gelder, and so many things about that music. And when I did the Mr. Magic album with Grover Washington, there was Harvey Mason playing drums. And so I got a chance to know him through that period of time, and he and I remained friends and ended up together in the group Fourplay. And it's funny how if I look at those names that you mentioned, they all, one way or another, steered me to other things that influenced my career too. They all, in a way, helped me as a kind of launching pad. Maynard Ferguson was the first job I got when I came to New York. That was in 1963, and going on tour a little bit with his band was my entree into learning the good and the bad of the music business.
Oh, yes, it's exciting. And I'm just a little teeny curious about Neil Diamond.
Well, Neil Diamond was a very much, I would call it a one-off or almost a fluke that I had a chance to work with him, because I was affiliated with Columbia Records at that time. And he was on their roster, and they were looking for something a little bit different. And so I got involved doing some arrangements, and I'm sure that Neil Diamond would not have thought back on it as the highlight of his career, but maybe it was intriguing difference. Certainly allowed me to appreciate his talent more, just being on the inside of it, watching the records get made.
Here's that Mr. Magic recording of Grover Washington Jr. with conductor and arranger Bob James. Thank you. you have three classical albums, classical music. Yep.
I definitely think of myself more as a fan of classical music, and to really get to the depths of performing any of that classic music, it's a lifetime experience to do it. And I don't have the opportunity to have two lifetimes, and the main part of my life has been devoted to trying to develop as much as I can as a jazz artist. So these three classical albums started out to just be fun. The first one was the music of a French Baroque composer, Rameau. And I, again, during it was that time period when I was with Columbia Records, and I made a few kind of demo-type recordings at my home studio of the music of Rameau, and I was simulating harpsichord, which was the sound of the keyboard that Rameau heard in his time. And when I heard that sound, it gave me a Christmas kind of feeling. So I decided to just make a little demo as a Christmas present for some of the other staff people at Columbia Records in the office at the CBS building at that time. And one of the A&R people in the classical departments heard it, really liked it, and encouraged me to expand it and make it into an album. So that's how it started. Never intended to be anything that serious, but it was so much fun that it resulted in an album of the music of Scarlatti and then eventually the music of Bach also.
Just for fun, here's a little bit of Scarlatti Sonata in G minor, played by Bob James. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
For spending time here with us in the jazz room. There's my husband, Peter, trying to get a picture of us. Come on, Peter.
That's a nice phone.
Thank you so much, Bob James.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Finally, here is Carrie, the Bob James Earl Clue collaboration, 1979 album, One on One. Thank you. we've come to the end of another show. Thank you for spending time here with us in the Jazz Room. You may see photographs of artists at the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival and many more on the Jazz Room page of my website, JoanWatsonJones.com. Until next time, you've been in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. Thank you.